upward, until at the rear of the villa it formed an almost vertical wall. This made it easy for Harvey to split the group into two separate parties and assign one to take each side of the valley. Jack, JB, and Blake were joined by Mildred, Ant, and Dee, and Doc. The latter was picking his way down with infinite care, and the others waited for him to join them.
Old man's too slow, if you ask me.
Wouldn't say that. He can move fast enough when need be.
Ant's twin nodded in agreement. Doc set himself beside the others.
Why, thank you, kind sir. When do we move?
On Harvey's signal.
On the other side of the valley, Harvey and Downey picked their way down to a spot about 20 yards from the first ranch house. Dean and Christy followed, joined by the rangy sec man with receding hair, who was named Rankeen. They were a few yards in front of the next pack, with Ryan behind the bear-like Jake and the fat sec man, whose name was Bodie. For his size, Bodie was surprisingly nimble, and the one-eyed warrior noted this, in case he should ever come up against the sec man. His reason for taking the rear position was partly to keep a watch on the raw sec man, partly to keep an overall view on Harvey's tactics. If Sontfogel had no sec forces or no blasters, then an attack from the sides, using the contrast between the dark hillside and the bright light of the ceremonial fires, should stand a good chance of success. Ryan had attempted a quick head count of the Sun Children, and although there was too much movement for him to be certain, there seemed to be about 75 to 80 of them. 5 to 1. Not good odds, generally, but the blasters would even that up considerably. Hit hard, hit fast, attain the target, and retreat. The theory was sound, although the logic of carrying out the attack just to win back some chilled flesh was skewed. Better to do that than face the firefight in the forest, though. The odds were marginally better, and this could make them some progress toward their ultimate goal. The one-eyed man joined the rest of the party, and they sat for a second, watching the obscene celebrations beneath. One mutie, in a flowing and tattered robe dyed in many colors, had taken the center of the arena and seemed to be leading the chanting. The sound changed, a high, keening note of bloodlust now entering the massed voices.
Think the others are in position?
Downey's question was directed at his chief, but it was Dean who answered.
Jack leading. They'll have been waiting for us and getting bored.
Harvey spared the youth a grim smile.
Hope you're right, boy. But it's chilling time.
The assembled party readied their blasters, checking that chambers were full, magazines loaded, without even consciously thinking. Harvey took a flare from the small leather bag he wore attached to his belt. He cast a glance over the seven people around him, eyes dwelling for a moment on Christy. The women of Thisville didn't join sec attacks, and he was still of two minds about Christy and Mildred. Then he nodded, almost to himself, and lit the flare. Standing, he threw it high into the air, describing a parabola that let it fall onto the roof of the semi-derelict ranch house, landing sputtering on the flat surface. Harvey hollered, psyching himself up, and launched forward. On the other side of the valley, JB was the first to react, rising as he saw the flare arc through the darkness, like a shooting star on the edges of the firelight.
Go!
Mildred was close behind him, with Jack streaking down the slope at an angle, spreading the line of attack. Ant and Dee took position between Jack and the armorer, while Doc and Blake moved off to the other side, the seven warriors fanning out to dilute and confuse any concerted attempt at defense. While they did this, Harvey was followed by Downey down the slope, while Ryan and Christy moved off to form the farthest point of the line, with Bodie, Rankeen, Dean, and Jake taking the points in between. On both sides, the attacking parties held fire until they could be sure of making all their shots count. Harvey's men carried only one blaster each, and of the companions, only JB and Ryan had more than the one blaster. JB had the Uzi in his hands, set to fire short, controlled bursts. Ryan grasped his Sig Sauer with his Styron reserve, while the armorer had his M4000 to fall back on. At the back of his mind, JB considered it would be a useful weapon to scatter the crowds in front of the ceremonial fires. Despite the raised voices and the inevitable noise of a sudden run down loose ground, neither party seemed to draw attention from the Sun Children. There were very few of the muties at the edges of the bill, the majority of them now converging on the central arena, where the dead children were now surrounded by kindling that was being doused in some kind of foul-smelling oil. The muties were chanting louder and more intensely, with the keening edge growing higher and more desperate. On the belts that kept their robes together, their blades glinted in the firelight. The party, led by Harvey, arrived at the bottom of the hill and into the bowl of the valley. Harvey and Downey flattened themselves against the back of the ranch house. Ryan and Christy took shelter behind a shack, while the others used some of the tents as cover, keeping low. It was here that Ryan made the first chill. The one-eyed man trod stealthily around the side of the shack that was sheltering himself and Christy, measuring his footfall while the redhead kept him covered. Although his senses were on triple red, he was fairly sure that the shack was empty, as all the muties seemed to have gathered in the center of the bill. He didn't reckon on those that were too ill to make the ceremony. Time seemed to freeze and then move with a painful slowness as he stepped past the opening at the front of the shack, only to feel a hand snake out and grab at his ankle. It took him by surprise, as he had seen nothing from the periphery of his vision. The hand came from his blind side, where there existed only an empty socket. The grip at first was feeble, but exuded an uncanny strength when Ryan twisted, trying to free his boot while also turning to see what had taken hold of him. The arm was wizened and covered in open sores, blistered and bleeding. It had crude tattoo marks all the way up to the elbow, and some spiraling and arcane design. As Ryan pulled harder, a face appeared in the dim light of the vill's outer reaches. It was a parody of a human face, with no chin, a formless nose, and eyes that were aligned at a 40-degree angle across the forehead. The mouth was a toothless, gaping maw, opening with a dull croak that threatened to get louder with each breath. Ryan didn't want to risk a shot from the Sig Sauer alerting the chanting Sun Children, so he drew the panga from its thigh sheath and sliced down through the night air. The momentum of the razor-sharp blade carried it deep into the skull of the mutie, driving through the softened bone of the skull and cleaving clean through to the palate. It was just a pity that the momentum stopped before the panga blade tore into the larynx, as the mutie let out a high-pitched and piercing scream as it died, a scream that cut through even the loudness of the chanting. The scream was followed by an eerie silence as Ryan felt the grip loosen on his boot, freeing him. Sunchild, the chosen, hereditary leader of the vill, stopped in mid-chant, arms raised. The muties gathered at the foot of the poles, about to ignite the kindling and fire the sacrifices, looked at their leader, a questioning look spreading across their dull visages. Sunchild, raised in a stagnant genetic pool altered only by mutation, was a drooling idiot, but a drooling idiot savant, with a strong sly streak running through him, and a cold ruthlessness unhindered by any intelligence or thoughts of morality. If there were intruders, he would add them to the sacrifice, and the gods would gorge on energy, as would his people. He turned and caught sight of a flash of white hair and red eyes burning in a pale face, a flash that was followed by the roar of a blaster and a burning sensation across his shoulder. He screamed, and his people were suddenly galvanized from their frozen stupor, the chanting beginning again in earnest as they turned back to face the surrounding hill, blades coming to hand. As soon as the silence hit, Jack took one look at Ant and Dee.
"Something's fucked up,"
Jack nodded.
"Hit fuckers fast."
Before the Sekhmen had a chance to register what was happening, Jack streaked forward from cover, skipping nimbly over the detritus of the vill, spread out between the shacks and tents, making for the central arena where the Sun Children were gathered. JB was on his tail, moving on a path that would take him into the center. Mildred was close behind, dropping to one knee at the side of a shack and leveling her ZKR, taking aim to pick off the first mutie to move. Doc once again took the Sekhmen by surprise, his long, thin legs taking him on a path that cut between two tents, the heavy Lamar percussion pistol ready to discharge into the throng of the multicolored enemy.
"Damn, boys! We're gonna miss the fun!"
Blake took off in pursuit. The twins exchanged glances before raising their shotguns and following. By the time they had taken their first step, Sunchild had already seen Jack and taken the slug from the Colt Python 357 in the shoulder, the grazing blow taking a chunk of bloody flesh from the top of his shoulder joint and sending him spinning as the momentum of the slug drove him around in a circle before collapsing. Ryan withdrew his panga from the now-chilled mutie and returned it to its sheath as he turned, raising the Sig Sauer to the first of the muties that came toward the group, following the direction of the cry.
"That's fucked things."
The roar of Jack's blaster and the scream of Sunchild momentarily halted the onrush, and some of the muties turned, their chanting stopping. Harvey came out from cover.
"Now!"
Harvey and Downey started to fire, picking their targets and watching the muties fall as every slug hit home. Bodie, Jake, and Rankine also came from cover, firing as they advanced, taking steady steps with each discharge.